what's going on? Welcome to the Duck Show. I'm Doug Cunnington, and today I have my old buddy Kyle Roof. How's it going?
Great to be here. Good to see you, Doug.
And it's been a while since we chatted, and I think back and I'm like, oh, we always have a blast, and we're like continuing to talk after we hit stop. And it is good to see you. You're back in the US for a little bit, so we're in a favorable time zone right now. But what's been going on with you in the last whatever 6 months or year or whatever you want to share with me about professional stuff going on?
I was going to talk about my personal life. I'm back in Phoenix visiting fam. It's been great. Think about moving houses. No, I'm not. Actually, I love my house. Things are good. Professionally, things are great. The age-old question, is SEO dead? I think our last 6 months have been our best 6 months that we've ever had. So, business is good. Running Page Optimizer Pro, the software, is my main focus. And then traipsing around the world, speaking at conferences, is the other part of what I do. So yeah, things are good. Life is good.
Very cool. Yeah. And I mean, we all have an evolution in our business life probably. And I have sort of around a 5-year time span of interest in certain areas / I just keep moving on to sort of different stuff. And SEO got a little bit harder probably, at least for me, around 2020-ish or so. Just everything took a little bit longer, and I was kind of getting out of day-to-day activities. Number one, I sold some of my sites and was kind of moving on to like a content creator type role for the most part. Still had my foot in a couple different areas. And probably in 2022 to 23, AI was taking off a little bit more, and that made it even more of a disconnect for me and my skills, or at least the skills that I had in the past that were helping me rank sites. And content, or AI content specifically, like made it even more difficult, and I wasn't super interested in learning. So from my perspective, I was like, SEO was kind of dying. That said, I was still using search engines for a lot of stuff. And I also know small businesses, especially e-com kind of sites, they still needed customers, and they weren't necessarily impacted in the same way. So I'll just kind of open it up and like, SEO dead. We've probably heard the same, like sky is falling situation every few years over and over again since maybe like 2010 or maybe before that. So where do we stand
every
now?
6 months, every 6 months since 2010, I think SEO has died. No, it's actually, I think we're past the panic of AI shutting everything down, because all AI can do is enhance your skills. It can't do SEO for you. It can't really do anything for you. It can enhance the skill set that you have, or you know, somebody else's skill set, and you can guide in a direction. But you have to have the expert that understands the output. And if you don't have that expert that understands the output, it's just going to drive you into the ground faster than you would do on your own. And that's all that it can really do for you. But what I've found is that with AI search, which I'm still not a huge believer in just yet, but in terms of adoption, but AI search is just really doing SEO again. It's even more of the Wild West than the Wild West that we still live in SEO.
And as far as the adoption, I mean, I was like, I'm still using Google or some other search, or I'm going to a specific place like YouTube to look things up. And it kind of slowly happened where more people were being shown AI results in Google. And when it really hit home, my wife started saying, hey, I'm seeing these. And she was like, I don't really trust them. And then she started trusting them a little bit more, at least for certain things. So what about the adoption? Like, are people actually using AI search? And it's different when you look at Google AI results, which I'm maybe not using the exact right term that we see in the results there in the SERPs, versus someone on ChatGPT or Claude, where they're like, help me plan my trip to Dallas or whatever.
Right. So a joke that I made in some of my talks last year was that I came up with an index on adoption, and I call it the Dad and Janice Index, my father and his wife. And then I showed just a screenshot of a conversation that I had with them on the thread that we're on. I was like, hey, do you guys use ChatGPT or any kind of AI search? And Janice writes back, We don't know what that is. Yep. Should we be doing it? And the reason I bring that up is because they're in their later 60s, but they're semi-retired. They're upper middle class. They take two or three trips a year. They're constantly online. They buy stuff online. They're very comfortable doing all that. And they've never even heard of ChatGPT. Like they've heard AI, of course, but sure. They had never had heard about, you know, that there's something that they could use as a search engine and they could sign up for it and go do it. That's something that they had never even occurred to them. And they still don't use it. I've now educated them a little bit more, so at least they know what it is. But they have zero desire to go and use it. And then I was like, well, what about like the AI features you see in Google? Do you like those? And they're like, what features? They're not even aware that those things exist. And so I think we're a long way off from mass adoption. Nerds like you and I are easy to adopt things quickly. We like it, you know, like we like that kind of stuff. But I think this time last year, AI search was less than 1% of all search. And I think it's doubled. So it's like,
it's almost 1% now.
Exactly. I think that's where it's at. So
okay. Really,
I think a lot of it is, especially if you do like client side work, it's a lot of vanity metrics for CEOs. You know, they want to see their stuff in there, or you have vanity metrics for business owners. They want to see their stuff there. But in terms of, I mean, of course there are use cases where people, your audience is using that, like you're marketing to marketers, then yeah, I would definitely be an AI search. But for the average human, there's not much there, I think, in terms of return on investment.
Okay. Yeah, it's so interesting the sort of echo chamber that people might be in and not realize it. I think maybe, again, nerds like you and I, and we have a lot of people are skilled in different disciplines, but I think like you and I have a self-awareness. And listeners out there, if you're watching or listening to this, you fit into this as well.
I hate to break to you, you're also a nerd if you're listening to this.
Exactly. And you're also self-aware, which I think is a very good quality. And I was chatting with a friend recently, and I think, yeah, Matt Giovannisi, it may have even been on a podcast. Everything blurs together in my world. I think it was on a podcast, but he was referencing YouTubers that he watches, and he was like, oh, they're so big, like everyone's talking about it. And I'm like, I've never even heard of 80% of the people you're talking about, just like Alex Hormozi, which I don't find too entertaining or helpful. It's fine if other people do, but not for me exactly. But anyway, Matt was in a little echo chamber where he was thinking that is the conversation that's going on in the world with everyone. And I'm like, I don't even know who those folks are, even though they have millions of subscribers and followers and that sort of thing. And same thing in my personal finance world. It's like common knowledge stuff is not common knowledge for most people. It's just specific people that happen to geek out on a specific topic. So I can see how we end up in a spot where we're like, everyone is using this all the time and I'm behind because I'm not. It turns out like we're on the leading edge of this. Okay. So as far as people using AI search, it's very small from what you could tell. That said, it is on the sort of front of mind for marketers and marketers that are maybe leading a team at their bigger company or whatever. So how does that fit in? Because like there is a market there, maybe outsized for the number of people that are actually searching, but it is kind of moving in that direction. So like how can marketers or people working at an agency kind of position themselves and spend time, a proportional amount of time that makes sense from an ROI standpoint on, you know, AI search versus SEO, or is there a big difference? So kind of a broad question, but I'll just tee it up for you.
One thing I was going to say is we're all very tribal and like people are like, you don't know Doug Cunnington, you know, and they're like, and you know, you have people like in my mind, of course, everybody knows who you are, but then I'll be talking to people, I'll bring you up and they're like, who's that? And I was like, what?
Yeah. You know, that's crazy.
that's insane. But you know what, where I think again, using it as a tool, you can build kind of avatars of yourself and how you would break down data or how you would approach a problem. And that can really speed up the approach that you have to doing any of your work. So I'm building an AI version of myself to actually use within our software, so you could ask me a question. You know, like, how would Kyle approach this? And what's really crazy is we're probably about 85% of the way there on it. The answers are good. Like, it even talks like me a bit, like, which is really kind of weird, because it's seen my videos, it's gone through my transcripts, it's picked up. You know, we all have our own cadence, how we speak, and maybe words that we use in a unique way. And it's starting to pick up how I actually talk, wow. Which is really, really crazy. And then, on top of that, though, I have to tell it, don't go outside of your knowledge. Like, don't guess, because it really wants to guess. And so, like, when there are times when it's not really sure and it can go through its knowledge and there's not a good answer there, it'll just make something up and then it's wrong. You know, and that's the problem that it has, is that it'll go and it'll try to just make something up. It'll guess at an answer, and the answer is often incorrect. And that's more than anything what we're working on is trying to have it be truthful and say it doesn't know the answer. But then on top of that, we've got a version that would kind of be kind of client facing or user facing, but we've also have an internal facing one, especially for the marketing team. We've given it our style guides. This is how we like to do our marketing. This is the tone that we like. You know, giving it examples. And then when we have a new feature, the marketing team actually goes in and has a conversation with it and says, okay, we need to put together 5 static ads and we need to do this. And we also have created an AI version of me. This is actually not real me. This is an AI. No, I'm kidding. It's real. and then they can actually, because marketers, you know, the marketing team doesn't always understand the features in the same way the product development team will, right? Now I can explain it to them what it is. And on top of that, I can help create the email copy because we've already got that inside of the tool. So there's a lot of, you can kind of almost like customize the search or customize the data output. You know, you're going to do the search anyway. Now you can run it through some filters and get it in the way that you want a lot faster, and your productivity will go up. Mm-hmm.
It's so interesting with the hallucination issue, because I mean, obviously the big LLMs do this as well. And then you double check, you're like, hey, that doesn't sound right. Are you sure about that? They're like, oh no, actually that was completely wrong. It's the opposite thing. Yeah. And it seems like such a simple thing to not have it fuck up in that way. And yeah, it's like, obviously you're working on it and other people have observed this and you hear it in different industries, but it's not solved yet, but you guys are getting closer to it.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the big thing of training it, like having a hard rule, like don't go outside of your knowledge.
Okay.
If you don't know the answer, say you don't know the answer. And it's something that's like built into it, because it gets twitchy, right? It's like, but I gotta give it, I gotta give an answer. No, but it's like, if AI Kyle doesn't know the answer, then AI Kyle doesn't know the answer, because real Kyle would be truthful and say he doesn't know the answer. And you know, that's, we just have to tell it to do. I was going to say something though. Oh, like, we have the hardest time with our AI writer, where it's like, initially we're like, okay, use this term 4 times anywhere you want. And it'd be like, done. And like, okay, there are 3 in there. And they're like, oh, you're right. Good catch. Let me rewrite that. Okay, done. And it's like, there's 5 now. Like, we told you 4. And then you even ask it, can you please check your work real quick? And they'll be like, good. And like, like, no, you're not good. I see this many, and you point out and you're like, oh, good catch. You're right.
It's so crazy, because like, the one thing the computer should be good at is fucking counting. And it boggles my mind. And I'm not, it has gotten better, I think, but I know some of the, you know, more recent releases, they'll have sort of the thinking process where I think it does go back and double check itself and then iterate upon that. But you still end up with those same issues. Again, mind-boggling, and it seems like the simplest thing to fix, but it's not.
One would think, but like, I guess there was like, it was demonstrated that like, count the number of R's in strawberry, and it can't do that because in the tokenization of how it does the words, it's not doing it in the same way that, it's not really counting is the problem. that's the biggest thing, it's actually not counting. But, you know, another issue that we ran into, so I've been running a case study for the last year and some change, is getting a baseline on the LLMs. Like, what do we get without any prompting? And so we've been doing it just as a baseline with the most recent relevant LLMs. Give me a 1,000-word article on what to see in Rome. So there should be plenty of information out there within its corpus or within the knowledge that it has to provide that. And in the last year and a half, they have not improved at all. And the thing that's really nutty about it is the biggest problem is the LLM is bad at language. It leaves out contextual terms, terms that give meaning to what you're talking about is its weakest point. And it's like the clue is in the name. You're a large language model. And like, so like if you can't even get language right, we can't expect it to count. You know, like that's the thing. But the some of the conclusions that we've drawn recently into that case study are that Google doesn't have to do anything special to find AI content. And I don't think Google particularly cares if it's AI or not, if it adds to value to the conversation. But I think there's a presumption that AI content does not, because it's really just a facsimile of somebody else's work. And so all they have to do, and I think they did this at the end of last year, was just turn up the dial a little bit on contextual terms and the value of contextual terms within the ranking models, and they can sort out all the ad. Because what happens is that Google just doesn't know what that content means. They don't understand it. And so you've launched 400 pages of AI content, and then your site gets hit. It's not because it's AI. It's because Google went and crawled and said, I really don't know what this is, where to put it in the index. I don't like the counts that it has. And then as a result, the site gets hit and then the AI content gets removed from the SERPs. Really, it's an elegant solution for them to take care of what they perceive as a problem and do it cheaply and with the tools they already have.
And I'm a little bit familiar with that case study. And one of the core issues, aside from the context, but this, they're related. You ask for 1,000 words and yep. You don't get nearly 1,000 words. Like, what kind of results are you seeing?
That's gotten better. But the first time, only, I think we did like say 9 LLMs and pick your top ones. We did it. Only 3 got over 1,000 words. And like for our purposes, again, we're looking at it through the lens of marketing, you know, digital marketing, SEO. So this is for our own purposes, right? But for our purposes, going over 1,000 words is no problem. Going under is problematic, you know, because we need a certain word count. We probably told the client we needed this, or we're shooting for it. We realized, you know, this is the kind of content we need to put out that Google is going to like. And only 3 got there. They're getting better at that now, for sure. That's maybe the one area of improvement. But when it comes to the what we need for ranking purposes, they're still terrible. My favorite one was a llama. It literally was like going. And then this little blue line popped up at the bottom. It was like, dude, I am tapped out. I cannot write about this anymore. And I was like, oh, sure. You know, surely this must be, you know, really long. It was like 430 words. Like, that's what it got. It's like, yeah. I'm no expert on Rome, but I'm guessing you can write a little bit more than 430 words on what to see in Rome.
Yeah, no kidding. Heavy.
You can write, you know, people have written entire essays, you know, on the Colosseum alone or the Vatican, or, you know, like, yeah. There's plenty of, but it's literally, there's a thing at the bottom. It's like, I honestly can't write any more about this. I have done all I can.
Yeah.
It's at the bottom. Like, good job. Good work.
Oh man. So we're talking about AI being used to create content. How could people do a better job? And you mentioned the, you know, the context and basically word count sort of being off, even though there are improvements. So what can people do to use AI to write their content and actually have, you know, something worthy to be published and help on the SEO side?
You know, you and I were chatting before we started recording. It's as though Google pinged me and they were like, we're going to do some major core updates. How can we help pop? Because it's something that we're actually very proud of, and something that we do with the tool is we don't guide you towards keyword stuffing. You know, it's using contextual terms. It's using variations of your term appropriately, because that does a lot of the heavy lifting, and that's what you need. Now, you don't have to use my tool. That doesn't hurt my feelings if you don't, but you do need something that's going to give you counts on the contextual terms, and it's going to look for those terms that are needed that support your main concept. And if you're not, you can't do it by hand. That's one of the things for sure. And even really good prompting doesn't get you there either. I know a lot of people are like, oh, this is really good. I prompted this really well. And then they show me the content and I'll run it through Pop and it'll score so poorly. So it's like, it reads well. And it gets the message across that you want, but for our purposes and what we need for ranking and for what Google to like the content, it just needs to be more contextual term rich, you know, LSI, if you like that word. And it's just not there. So you need to use something that is giving you those counts, or you do run the risk of getting your site dinged. I have yet to see any of those sites really recover.
And that said, you know, I'm thinking, you know, we're talking the AI side of someone's basically, let's be generous and say they're writing an outline and then they're having...
They're not. Go on.
Super generous. And then we'll swing on the other side, because I have a couple of friends that just started Substacks. And I know they're writing it themselves because it sounds like I'm sitting there chatting with them. From that perspective, like going back to the old days when people used to write by hand, like does that usually fit well from, like if you ran that human written content through Pop, does it often check out where it's going to do pretty well, or do you run into the same normal issues?
No, you run into the exact same issues. Okay. So you know, I do some consulting on the side, and I would say in the last 3 months, I've looked at 12 sites that were hit, and all of them have this problem that they're just so light on contextual terms, but two of them were handwritten. Like they, unless they were lying to me, but I don't think they were lying to me, but they're like, I actually wrote this content. You know, like this is me, or like my assistant who's sitting right over here while I'm taking this call wrote this content. It's not AI at all, but it's just getting caught up in the wash, you know, where it doesn't. So again, it gets to the point, Google can't tell if somebody wrote this, you know, like that, you know, that somebody physically started with a pen and paper and then moved to, you know, their Google Doc. They don't know that. They can only do it by the counts of the terms that are there. So if you're light in the way that you write, it's going to appear to be AI to Google. And it's not even that it appears to be AI. It's just content it doesn't understand. It just doesn't meet the mark of what they're expecting for that type of content.
Okay. And I could imagine just because of how someone writes or particular style, maybe they wouldn't use some of the, again, contextual LSI, other words that are often around, because that's what we're talking about. It's just in Pop, there's a lot of data that has been analyzed for what else is ranking. And that is where those specific word counts for certain words or semantically related words.
That's right.
That's where it's coming from, right?
Right. That's right. So you've got your, for lack of a better term, an LSI type list, but then you've also got, say, an NLP type list. And we have two, we can tap into Google's NLP API, and then we have our own NLP libraries that we tap into as well to get that context, that meaning, those terms on the page that explain to, like, you know, the example I give all the time is if you're talking about a kitchen, you could say words like sink, you know, stove, refrigerator, and then you're actually talking about the actual kitchen. You could talk about, you know, you could start talking about remodeling terms, you know, and then you're talking about remodeling a kitchen. Or then you could start talking about like family and love and, you know, and holidays. And now you're talking about that the kitchen is the heart of the home. In all three of those, you're talking about a kitchen, but you're talking about it in a different way. And it's those contextual terms that allow the meaning or the understanding of what we're not just talking about a physical kitchen here. We're talking about the kitchen is the heart, you know, it's the metaphorical heart of your family, because that's where most people gather. And then, so it's an important part of the family dynamic. That's a completely different conversation than a remodeling conversation, but you don't know that unless you've got the right contextual terms in there. And so the idea is Google's looking at that article you wrote about kitchens and it just doesn't even know what you're talking about. It's just because it can't identify where you're going with this and what the purpose of this content is.
Gotcha. And can you go over the difference between LSI and the NLP
and sure.
What people need to be aware of? Yeah.
NLP, I think it's better to think about as things, concepts, you know, and then the LSI are the actual words that go on a page. So when you look at like Google's NLP API, so you can tap into it and Google will say like, okay, I think this is what you're talking about. And then it'll say like, according to us, we think you're missing these words. And you might go look at the text and the word is actually there, but that's not good enough. Just having the word on the page doesn't match then semantics or what the NLP, the language processing that Google is looking for, because it needs more contextual terms than to understand the concept. So NLP is more conceptual, conceptual physical things is kind of, it's a noun, it's a person, place, or thing, an organization, but in concept form. And then the LSI, the contextual terms, are the ones that give the meaning, that, that allow those semantic ideas to be brought forth within the text.
And you used to be a lawyer, right?
I did. Yeah, I still am.
Yeah, okay, fair enough. And I was going to say, lawyers, if people don't know, it's like all the words mean so much. So it's like, it is funny, like going back to the specific, like this word means this in this context. So like, it does go back to.
Oh yeah. That kind my training was perfect for this.
Yeah.
my training got me right to, understanding language in a clear and precise way. And then also the value of meaning, you know, like there's
interesting.
Words mean very specific things in very specific situations, unless you modify them with other very specific words. And yeah, that's been great for me as an SEO.
Tricky. Yeah, I was always bad at most of the things that you just mentioned. So, all right. So as we're thinking about growth areas, growth possibilities, a lot of the audience, either they were like previous SEOs or current SEOs, but a lot of folks were deep into like affiliate sites and content websites, mm-hmm. kind of moved on, or those sites like dropped away or they stopped working on it, but they still have the core skills. Some people are looking for side hustles or things that they could kick up because of the skills they already have. So do you see any specific growth areas for SEOs or marketers where there's kind of a good opportunity for them to get rolling?
Well, e-com and local business have not been touched in years by any recent Google updates. So lead gen, which is a form of affiliate marketing, is still, I think, alive and well. I was never in the lead gen game. I never really got it. But I know a lot of people that are doing it and doing very, very, very well. And there's a lot of good, CRMs out there now too that sync in very well with websites that actually maybe make lead gen a little more possible than it was before, like a Go High Level, for example. I think that they're just built for that, you know, and those kind of tools are really, really good. E-com will always be there, but I've seen more and more affiliate sites come back in the last year or so. I think Google killed off who they wanted to kill off a few years ago, and I've seen some affiliate sites come back in. Now, I was dumping earlier I was dumping on AI search, but if you see a niche where that there is an audience, I think it is still quite easy to get insertion into AI search. So there would be opportunity there. And you know what's really working well for insertion is keyword golden ratio. It is working extremely well because the way that AI likes to do search is it does query fan out. So it takes a main concept and then it breaks it down into smaller pieces. Related searches, essentially, so they can understand what you're driving at and they can start to answer all the questions. And that's exactly what KGR gets you into, is getting into those terms. So you have your main page concept, and then I write supporting pages, and KGR is a big filter for me when I'm doing that. And turns out doing that will actually get you inserted into the LLMs as well.
Interesting. I haven't, like I said, I've not been doing like SEO, like boots on the ground kind of stuff. And every now and then someone will mention they saw you at a talk and they're like, oh, Kyle's still mentioning KGR. And I'm like, no shit, that's crazy. I should do a site just to test it out.
It's working so much better now. Like really? I think it always worked. I think part of the reason that it didn't work is it was missing one step. And that's kind of like how strong your site is.
Yeah.
You know, that was kind of the missing step. And so I combine it with avalanche theory and KGR. And I think the last time we were on, I think I spoke about this. It was working great then. It's even working better now. Like, it is working so well right now. I'm crushing it.
Really? I was like, oh, I should find just something small to do a little experiment, get people talking about it. And going back to the like Google killed off the affiliate folks that they were wanting to, I think, well, it was kind of my world and a lot of my peers where we were creating content, encouraging people to start sites. But now that no one's talking about it, there's just fewer folks out there. It's just the hardcore folks that were like interested in it and they wanted to keep going with it. Or maybe they had a big site and their only recourse is to like do what they can and pivot and they're making it work. But yeah, it's kind of interesting now that there's not a buzz around it. It's like, oh, it's not a big deal. There's not new folks jumping in thinking they can, you know, saturate the whole sort of industry. So.
Yeah, but you can. You definitely can.
Very cool. All right. I think we covered most of the stuff that I had on my list. Anything else on your mind or things that people should consider thinking about this SEO and an LLM world?
No, I mean, you can't do it by hand. And even if you think you can run into problems that you don't even know you have. So the biggest thing is you need something that is doing counts for you. And you are benchmarking your content on the amount of contextual terms you're using, I think is mission critical. After that, do whatever you want to do. And I think you can, if you want to get into that side hustle, I think affiliate side hustle is probably on its way back.
Very cool. All right, Kyle, if people want to learn more and follow along, where should they go?
Yeah, just head over to Page Optimizer Pro. There's actually, I have a free course on there, academy.pageoptimizer.pro. And you know, if you want to learn about what I'm doing in SEO, that's, if you like the sound of this voice, you can get another 3 hours of it.
Very cool. And then, yeah, I was going to say, and there may be an AI version, so you can just keep asking. You could ask it unrelated questions and just hear like, hey, Kyle, tell me what you had for breakfast. And then there's not an ASMR version, but maybe someday. I don't know.
That would be hilarious, like smell-o-vision from Willy Wonka.
All right, man. Good catching up, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it.